prayer, we pray, Heavenly Father, we know that you're here, and we realize that you're here in this hour for the shout, the voice, and the trumpet. And this is the hour of the voice, and it's also the hour sliding in quickly to the trumpet to raise the dead and the calling away, Lord. So we thank you for your help and your kindness, Lord. We just pray, though, that we will not look forward to the resurrection and even look forward to the rapture, but look positively on what you've given us, which is your word, which is that which will make us ready in order so the dead can come out of the ground, hearing the voice of the Lord God, your own voice, Lord, and getting us all together for that great and triumphant day. So may we learn from your word, Lord, at this hour what you had have us to know, which we know will give us a great measure of life, and along with a great insight, that we might walk in that light and rejoice in the God of our salvation, which we know at this time you are here as Jehovah Elohim. So may our thoughts be gathered, our minds be all of one accord, Lord, which they must be against that great day, as Paul said, all say the same thing, which means we would all think the same thing, and all have unity of purpose with the same declaration, all centered around you, Lord. And that's what we desire, as Brother Branham mentioned in his little tape which we studied last night, projecting. So we just thank you now for your presence, and may we all be comfortable and comforted together. May our joy be one to another and all with each other. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now last night we came to the place where you realized that Brother Branham was actually taking the first chapter of Ephesians, which is the gospel in a nutshell, beginning back with God in his singularity, where he was all alone. And then we find the mention of Jesus Christ, and we find the mention of ourselves with that. And we find the mention of the plan of salvation, wherein God redeemed or bought back the ones that had gone astray and were pawned to the devil. And then we go on to where we find God himself comes down to give the revelation of himself, which precedes the rapture. And then from the rapture, we go to the last few verses of Ephesians 1, where we are actually then above all principalities and reigning and ruling with Jesus Christ. Now, you must know that what Brother Branham is telling us is part of that which was not revealed from before the foundation of the world. It's the mystery how that Christ was in God, that Son separated into sonship, being a part of God, and never a part of Godhead, but completely subject to God, and with his entitlement and coming to adulthood, as it's said in the Galatians, and set forth as adoption, showing that he was well able to, as Brother Branham said, to write his name along with the Father's on the check. And now if you listen carefully, you'll find that Brother Branham said check. Now that is what I talked about last night, which was as the first begotten son, he was entitled to 50% of everything that the Father had. And so therefore, his name was as good as his Father's up to 50%. And if he overwent the 50%, then he becomes a crook. He becomes a thief and a person of ill repute. So when you come to adoption, and Brother Branham mentioned that concerning Jesus, though we're his son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And being led entirely by the Holy Ghost, what I see my Father do, I do. What I hear my Father say, I say. And at the time my Father says it, that's the time that I do it. if there's something held in abeyance at this time, at which I'll get at another time, then I recognize that and I fall in line with it because he was the perfect son and therefore the one to stand in perfection for us. But you'll notice that he never did ever claim sovereignty. Now, if he were God, he would claim sovereignty. He's not God. He's a son of God. And he didn't claim sovereignty except over that of which he was granted sovereignty in the inheritance. Now, always get this flat. You never, ever, 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 ever tell God anything. Now, let's get that flat. You have an inheritance. And that inheritance is uncorrupted and undefiled waiting for you. And you've got to wait for it. And you can augment it or decrease it in the sense of your sowing and reaping. As the scripture said, let no man take thy crown. And the Bible also says very succinctly and very strong, which the Catholics pervert, you will be saved as by fire, but your works would be burnt up if they're wood, hay, and stubble, and coal, and wood, and stuff like that. Whereas if they're precious stones and gems, which corresponds to the word in the blood, you've got to be in line with the word in the blood in everything you sow in order to reap those things that are of God, which you can have from your Father. Now, you see that perfectly illustrated all through Scripture. Now, what I'm driving at, as we talk about this one who never defiled anything from God or himself, that he never took advantage of his sonship, he never intruded into what wasn't his. I remember Brother Branham preached a whole sermon on presuming, treading where you have no place to tread, but are presumptuous, giving yourself that ability. Jesus never presumed, never at any time. He was that son. Now, so we go back to the very beginning before there was a beginning, because the beginning comes for you and me not even at the time of the separation of Jesus, but at the time of the creation. Because he never had anything that wasn't pure and simply a part of God. But you and I are those who have bodies. So I look at our beginning, which the life factor enforces from God, and God in the Son and with the Son. Now our beginning comes down there with Adam, because even though we are placed way back before the foundation of the world in Christ, we are known as those in Adam who died, became separated from God, and they corrupted their earthly bodies. So now there was no hope of eternality in those bodies as they were. They had to die, and then they would have to come forth. And you know, as we're talking now about that, you know, remember I read last night how the Brother Branham talked of getting a glorious body like unto Christ's glorious body, which body that Jesus had when he went to the grave was changed, and God raised him in this specific glorified body. Now, keep those thoughts in mind and listen carefully. God is not a God of exigency. Everybody thinks that he is, almost everybody. Except a few that really understand predestination, and they don't understand it like we do. When you consider the word, you will understand that Brother Branham taught that God is not a God who responds to exigencies. There are no exigencies with God. There are no crises with God. There are no problems with God. Everybody thinks that God the Father created and made Adam and Eve. And the devil came along and tempted them by eating apples or some type of disobedience. Now, the thing is, we look at this and we say, oh, this is awful. And we find now in heaven a little debate going on with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the Father says, oh, look at this terrible mess down there. Who will go? And the Son says, I will go. Lo, body hast thou prepared for me. So Jesus, a part of the Godhead, is going to clean up the mess of the other part of the Godhead. Can you believe such tripe and hogwash? How could God make a mistake? He is not fallible. If he made a mistake then, he must have made a mistake here too, because he's got to follow in pattern. Everything follows in a pattern. So what you're really looking at is this. The whole Bible was written in heaven before anybody got one word of it down here, starting with Adam. And Satan saw that whole and entire Bible. But he didn't understand it. And he still doesn't understand. Because, you see, he sold out. Now, when you read Isaiah chapter 53, and you read Psalm 40 and 22 and 2 and down the line and other scripture, and you go back into types and shadows, you will find that God had a complete record of every single thing and every one of his children in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then when there became an intrusion from Satan, the animal, which could come into the human, we find from there a book of life. And in there, that same book of life, there's a thread following through in lamb life, which is completely predestinated unto God to be bride, first two parts of one resurrection. Then the other part comes up in the book of life, out of which you can have your name taken, and you will have of your serpent seed. There's no way. You're not in the election. You're not in predestination. It is simply a record written of those people because they don't have a predestination, because an animal doesn't have a predestination or a record. And that's what Cain is. And then you'll notice Brother Branham mentioned these so-called Christians as cannon fodder. So what Brother Branham did, as I mentioned already, is trace from the beginning, before the foundation of the world, and before any of the mysteries which were way back there were known. And he took us all the way from there, all the way here, and he explained the whole path. Now he said, listen, here's the record, and this is what it is. And this is the truth. There are people that are call themselves Christian, they're cannon fodder. There are those that are wise virgins, there are those that are foolish virgins. Now he said, I want to see if you can go to the Bible with me and figure out who you are. Figure out who you are. Right away, 99 and 90-some percent are going to say, now hold it, hold it, hold it. There's three in one person. Or there's just one person. Doesn't matter. And that's where it ends. God just said, here, Adam and Eve, I'm putting you on your own. Well, what right would God have to put them on their own and I get the consequences? See, they say, well, now, the Son says, Lord, Father, I will come down and die if that's what you want. And the Holy Ghost says, great, you do that, and I'll finish the job. This is the utmost stupidity. My God, even I wouldn't do that with my wife and children. And predestination is based solidly upon the fact of family and a heart that is with family. So God cannot be guilty of that. It is, I've said many times, and Brother Branham used, become. God becoming. God unfolding. God giving his plan before us. God showing what he wants for you and for me. And now at the end time, we have a perfect picture of eternity to eternity. And we know we are now at the place where we can say positively, I am a seed of God. I am an elect child of God. I am a part of that bride. It doesn't have one thing to do with feelings. It doesn't have one thing to do with sensation. It doesn't have one thing to do with whether I accept or not, or somebody else says. It doesn't matter. This is God doing it, and nobody can stay his hand. Now, it took a King Nebuchadnezzar, a Gentile, to become insane and then get straightened out to know that there is a God in heaven and he does what he jolly well wants to do and you can't stop him from doing it and he's going to do it. Now if he says, look, you're my child and I'm going to take you from here to there and present you faultless, then that's what he said. He said, oh, but Brother Ben, oh, but Brother Ben. Oh, for God's sake, shut up. Why, let me pass out the guns this morning and blow our brains out and give God some glory. Let's be real honest for once in our lives. to be real honest. Come on. We're skunks inside. We're disbelievers, unbelievers. We will not give God credit for His Word, though it's written in heaven and backed by God, and it cannot return to Him void. And remember, Jesus said, I come from God and I go back to God, and we are identically the same in that respect, except that Brother Branham said we came exactly as He did, we go exactly as He did, except for one thing, He had that body in heaven, that word body which we bypassed. Now, it's time that we stop mouthing. It's time that we realize, live, die, sink, swim. There's no place to turn. This is it. And it hasn't got a thing to do with us and our emotions or anything else. Because your emotions can betray you. What emotion did Jesus have? He said, let this cup pass me. Nevertheless, let thy will be done. See? So let's not get mixed up in our thinking. Salvation is of the Lord, and redeem means to buy back. And if He buys you and me back, we are bought back, we are there, and we'll continue to be there until we sit with Him in His throne under certain conditions, or we gather around the throne, or bring our glory into the holy city. Doesn't matter. But that's exactly the destiny that God laid out. And nobody can stop Him from doing it, because He won't lose one. He won't be one short. There won't be one too many. It's exact and precise. You see? And here's where predestination is, to the point where Brother Branham said God knew how many fleas there'd be and how many times they'd bat their eyeballs and how many it would take to make a pound of tallow. Now that's putting it in a crude, crass, vulgar, but fantastic way to let you know there's not a hair of your head that is lost. There's not one tear shed but is reserved. There's not one breath but it's accounted for. And none of us will die 1 minute too soon or too late. Predestination. So Brother Branham took us, and then he began giving us the word test. We haven't got to that yet, but I wanted to show you, and I did, when Brother Branham used certain words like character and reflect, and project, he was using them with the utmost carefulness, even as people give this book credit for every word, and not one word out of place. Now, I know that people say, well, William Branham's just the prophet. Well, these were just the prophet too. And David, yuck. Yuck. David, who delineated the death and resurrection of Jesus and gave these pronouncements on Godhead, gave us the scriptures on suffering and character, had his eyeballs shoot out of his head by 1 foot as he looked at a beautiful girl. He said, gotta have her, gotta have her, gotta have her. So let's kick David in the teeth and send him to hell where he belongs. Or let's say David murdered. I can do it too. Well, he had a lot of wise men of adultery, and he got away with it. He never got away with anything. He reaped what he sowed, and the nation suffered and began to die with him over his adultery. Yeah? You don't believe that? Read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. It's too bad that people don't understand. There's an old Amish or Dutch saying that's so true. Too soon we're old and too late we're smart. And yet that's God's way of doing things, because this is the end age where all wisdom comes into complete function under the unction of God Himself. And we know as we are known, and we know as we've never known before, and we are now at that place where the Word has been disseminated. The last ones are coming in being child trained, and they will very definitely be a coming out of the ground. the great God of the grave, and there will be a rapture. Now, we came to where we talked of his own glorious body, and I read the scripture for it, but also there was one in Colossians 3:10. I didn't read. Of course, there's a whole lot more, so I really shouldn't even bother reading it, but seeing it's down here in my notes, and we're here this morning, we'll read it. And it says here, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We already have that. So if we're renewed in the knowledge at this late day, and we are, it's certain we're going to have the full image of Jesus Christ. Because he cannot bring his life, work, and his commission from God to full fruition until everyone is in a glorified state, either in the bride, the 144,000, or those that bring their glory in. So, you just see, the scripture says, thy word forever is written in the heavens. And what I'm driving at is this. Was that word written before there was a speck of stardust? And the answer is yes, because God is the word. And we see God playing himself out. And we do not see from 1 minute that God has an exigency. There is no such thing. Yet, if you begin to think God has an exigency, you'll never understand the truth of Romans, the 5th chapter. Therefore, having been justified by faith, not being justified, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And that doesn't have one thing to do with your heart and mine. It means that God is at peace with us as he was at peace with David. Soon as Nathan came to David and said, this so-and-so, he said, I'm going to get that man killed. He said, David, you're the man. He said, God, forgive me. He said, you're forgiven, but you're going to pay for it. God's at peace with himself, and he's at peace with you and me. You might not think he is. You hear these preachers preaching out there. They're trying to incite you to so many things. Forget it. Forget it. It's relaxing time. It's time to know that God has actually come down and curried favor with us. Oh, but I've got to curry favor with God. I've got to worship in such a way that I'm using some type of atonement or appeasement to God. God is already appeased. God is not angry. God is a teacher, and teachers don't get angry. He's not like Lee Taylor, Brother Branham, or David, or anybody else. God's not an angry God. He loves his children. He's angry with the wicked all the day long, but we are not with the wicked. We are not serpent seed. We are sheep astray. And he said, you didn't do it. The devil did it. Now it all falls back on him. And one day you'll find you always were saved. So what are we simply looking for? We're looking for the time of training, the laying up of rewards in heaven and the glory of God, excessively great on our behalf. That's what we're looking at. The child training down here in the flesh, and get out of here. That's our destiny, sons of God, wrapped in a mantle that is absolutely non-commensurate with the glory that's inside. But let's see if the lily can come through the mud and the muck and the mire with the sun beating down upon it and come into the glorious flower that lies within. Certainly it can be done, and it's being done. And it's not unique as though it's not being done. And it's not unique as though it's rare. The bride is going to shine in a glory. Because I'm going to tell you, if the foolish virgin doesn't even know what it's doing and comes up in the second resurrection, blessed of God, come in, you blessed children. What about a bride that knows and tries? Well, you understand there's no comparison. So, all right, the glorious body. Now, Brother Branham said, there's a guarantee you should know about, that you step forth from God, you're going to return to God, and you're going to return to God in a glorified body, there where no harm can come, in the holy mount where the lamb and the lion lie down, and the lion eats straw like an ox. In all the holy mount and all the ways of God, there are no more problems, but there is what is called an integrity. You know, the people today, the EPA and the rest of these guys that are concerned with the environment, They are trying to work out and see if they can discover the integrity of nature. And they say, well, this little hookworm in here may seem dangerous if it gets in your bloodstream, but that hookworm is necessary. He's out there and he's necessary. That little snail out there, and there's just maybe 20 left, they were necessary. Well, you see, that's what you call integrity. And it means they work together in an integrity. And that word integrity means truth and honor. And so therefore, there's an integrity in the body. And that integrity is in the word. And if she has that word, she has every single thing. Now, there's certain things in there that you know by revelation that place you. And there's nothing you can do about it because that's all of God. Then there are certain things in that word that tell you how to conduct your life, and that will give you a reward. And not just a reward, it will give you health and peace, prosperity, and all the things around you. So that even like Job, and you can be at the height of your success and wiped out just like that, your family go down the drain, God brings you right back into a higher glory. See, this is what people are missing all the time. They think that God is capricious. They think that God works on exigencies. Oh, merciful God. Does Rockefeller work on an exigency when nobody even knows what the Rockefellers have? They say Bill Gates is the richest man in the world, $40 billion. How do they know he's the richest man? Well, there might be somebody over there in Indonesia somewhere with $60 billion. Maybe $100 billion. See? Was there an exigency? With those guys, there is. They could be wiped out and somebody kill them. Where's their money gone? You try to wipe God out. You try to kill God. It's like Rob Barnard said one time, and I think he's kind of a little even worse than I am in the pulpit. At least I think this time he was. He was preaching on the sovereignty of Almighty God. The people got so mad, they rose up against him. In that week, they buried 3 men from that church that came against him. And he said, you don't like God being sovereign? Why don't you get him, pull him down out of heaven, beat hell out of him then with a big club? See, those words, brother, those words are bad words. They incense people. I don't give two bits of a hoot if they do incense people. It's still the truth. What are you going to do with God? You can't even see him. So how do you know that's his picture? He vindicated it. That's why. Or you wouldn't know. See, people are so wrong in their thinking. And how in the world is there going to be a rapture unless the thinking lines up with the thinking of God? Because God's thinking is a rapture in certain conditions with that rapture. And if you're not meeting his thinking with his condition, you ain't going to make it, right? Then you need a revelation. Brother Brand said the bride is waiting for the revelation of the rapture. And the rapture is what? God coming down, Jehovah Elohim, with the shout, with the voice, with the trumpet. They don't even listen to the voice. Now everybody said, oh, the Branhamites, there are 10,000, there's 500,000 according to people. I don't know, maybe a million of them. And they're all out there rejoicing that the prophet came and he brought this wonderful truth, and each one of us has the right to pick and believe how we want to believe in this lovely dish. So this is a grapefruit, but to me it's not a grapefruit, it's a peach. So yup, I'm eating peach while I'm eating grapefruit. Oh, come on. Come on. You see why I get angry at times and upset? I shouldn't, because it's going to be anyway. But I have steam coming out of my ears and out of my eyes. That's not the word of God. And I'm not here to preach morals. If you think I'm here to preach morals, I have preached it. I'm not. I'm here to preach revelation. And to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ like Paul and William Branham. You'll notice that Brother Branham, for being the man he was, preached less holiness than a Nazarene out here standing on a street corner. Just watched his life, that's all he had to do. Paul never was set for the defense of morals. He said, you Jews, I'm going to tell you something. The heathen by nature do the things that you're supposed to do by the word of God and don't do it. Where does that put you? And he walked off. He said, there's a sacrifice standing right there. Oh, brother, sister, there is a difference. You better believe there's a difference between the bride and those that aren't bride. There is a difference. Now, the resurrection is sure. It's guaranteed. We have the earnest of it now as we receive the Holy Ghost, and we're sealed till the journey's over. Why, what does it mean you're sealed till the journey's over? The journey on this earth. And when the dead come out of the grave and you're changed, your journey on this is over. You're getting ready for the next one. And the Holy Ghost has sealed you into it. So you can't miss it. The boxcar has been sealed. And Brother Branham said before the boxcar sealed, he did some of this kind of work, he said the inspector goes by to see that everything is in its place in the boxcar so nothing gets damaged on the way out. And then when he's thoroughly satisfied, it is lined up with the specifications, which today is the Word of God, getting ready for the rapture. And when the specifications are all there, it's all in place, the big seal is on the boxcar. Little seals inside, big seal on the outside. That's why Brother Branham said that the token today is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. God Himself having come down to seal the boxcar. Headship has returned. See? You've got to believe that. Headship is here. It's returned. We're on our way. This is the shout. Oh, well, Brother Dale, the shout, it's going on, and it's going on. That's exactly what Peter said. They are going to get tired believing in the presence. And the presence indicates what? Going into the millennium. That's the Old Testament. And secondly, the New Testament, it means Jesus coming to reign and rule. That's 2 Peter. That's Perusia. They guessed at it. Rotherham hit it right on the head. Everybody missed it. Now, they're preaching Persia today, all right. They haven't got a clue to what it is. Fellow went from here to from Canada. Oh, he couldn't stand the preaching of Persia. No. So he goes over there and he's split Searle Church down the middle over Persia. They still don't know what it is, as far as I know. That was testified by a guy that goes around and preaches all these fellows. He says, I'll tell you one thing. He said, these guys aren't preaching presence like Lee Dale is, because I heard him preach it. And he heard it right in this church here. They're not preaching like we preach it. I want to hear one person preach 1 Corinthians 15 from Thessalonians 1:4-16. Then I'll know they're preaching it right. Until then, they can't do it. See? You know one reason why you got so many government inspectors today? And the government inspectors are so nosy, and they nose even where they don't belong, and they do things they shouldn't do? Because we got the nosiest one of all, the one who K-N-O-W-S. And he is the K-N-O-W-S-Y one. He knows it all, and he's down here inspecting. And that boxcar is just right. It'll be out of here. But you know, I was quoting it from 2 Peter. They're going to get tired and say, where is the promise? Where is the promise of that presence that Jesus gave in the New Testament? He said, it's not now, but it's coming. And the kingdom will be yours. When are you going to set up your kingdom, Jesus? When are you going to set it up? The Father's here right now getting it ready. Oh, but that's been years and years. The prophet's been dead 33 years. Oh, we got to look for something else. Come on, Joseph. Come on, George. Come on, Bill. Well, come on, all you guys. I got no problem waiting for the prophet. I'm pretty soon be through waiting anyway. I'll be dead and going to grave. And I'll be waiting for the voice to call me out of the grave because I'm one of them. So it's a big deal. What's the big deal? Can't you wait for God? Peter tells you, day is 1,000 years, the Lord. And after you get through with the rapture and the millennium, you've got to wait a whole 1,000 years again for the New Jerusalem. And it's going to be more than that, because how long is the white throne going to take? It could take 1,000,000 years. Nobody knows. Eternity doesn't count time. It's timeless. You're no longer counting time by the roll of a planet around the sun. You say, how come? Because there's no night there. Maybe the earth gets flat by that time. You know, just give up these mortal thoughts and these ideas and get right down to Scripture. Because this is what my God hath declared and vindicated. And so Brother Branham says here, and we have the earnest of it now, as we receive the Holy Ghost, we're sealed till the journey's over. That is your token that you hold that shows your fare has been paid. And it tells you that's what Hebrews 10 said, which is the blood answer, the Holy Spirit answers to the blood. If you are thoroughly redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, there is no way you will not receive the Holy Ghost. Repent, be baptized, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say repent, be baptized, everyone, and tarry, and just maybe, if you persevere long enough, or like Uncle Buddy Robinson said, Lord, if you don't give me the Holy Ghost, I'll be just a bag of bones when you get back. Hogwash, he wouldn't even be a bag of bones, he wouldn't be dusty, hardly be in gases. So don't quote Uncle Buddy. He ain't worth quoting anyway. might as well quote your seamstress. She's the one that made you a pair of pants with one leg too short. Oh, I just love this. Merciful God. Why don't people go to vindication? See, they'll take folly every single time. And when they could take the elixir of life, they'll drink hemlock. The elixir of life is the word of the living God, the living water. Brother Branham spoke of it. No, they don't want that. This is your token that you hold that shows your fare has been paid. Now say, well, now just a minute. The Holy Ghost comes proving I'm under the blood. I've been thoroughly redeemed. Absolutely now. Not just a second. How do I know I got the Holy Ghost? And Brother Brandon compounded the injury right there. Years ago, Pentecostals said, well, you don't get the Holy Ghost by speaking in tongues. They got that. They changed that now. That's how you get it. Years ago, they said, when you get the Holy Ghost, you will speak in tongues. And Brother Brandon said the same thing, but he modified it. Told you what he meant. But he didn't have it as an evidence, because do all speak with tongues? The answer is no. Okay? He said, no. So, all right, now, how are you going to know? You see? Now, it says, you are a redeemed character. Now, notice he used the word character with Jesus, and we also are character because we're the same substance, but we don't have the authority, don't have the power, do not have what he has. Now, if God has 50% of all, and Jesus 50% of the inheritance, what do you and I have? What he shares with us. I don't know any place where God gives up his 50%. Well, you see, I know because he turned it all over to Jesus. Well, that's okay too, but on what grounds? On what grounds? He's not part of Godhead. So no one can supersede God because he's Godhead. Now, you're a redeemed character. Now notice I said, you're not a character, you're a redeemed. And this should be hyphenated. R-E-D-E-A-M-E-D dash character. So you're not just redeemed character, you're redeemed character. And you understand what I'm saying? You're sheep that came back. They were brought back. My Lord, there's characters out there by the millions. That's what gives us a laugh. Oh boy, is that guy character. Ha ha ha, good joke. That's all you're talking about. We're talking about character, which comes from the French word to engrave. You are engraved. The Bible speaks of being engraved upon his palms. the sheep, the pasture, the flock of his hand. Pastured sheep, guided by his hand, in his hand. See? Now, redeemed character. Satan has no business with you, none whatever. Just pick up your token and show him, my healing is paid for, my trip to glory. Now, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do it? Just because you got the Holy Ghost? By no means. You have to know what is yours by the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost reveals it to you. Like Brother Branham said, when you have been revealed to you, you're healed, you're healed. See? It's all the work of the Spirit of God. And a token is what you use to ride on a bus line or an airplane. Your ticket is your token, see? All right, in other words, a token is actually substance. See, I've got the ticket. Well, that ticket represents positively the ride wherever you're going, from one point to another. So the Holy Ghost is the substance that is required that brings to pass exactly from beginning to the end. Come from God, return to God in the position he wants you. So the Holy Ghost is a substance. Now, take your token, says you're redeemed. Right away he tells you if you're redeemed, you got the token. Yeah, because you're our sons, God sends forth the Spirit into your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Let me read you. Galatians is your fantastic book. Everybody wants to read Galatians like they read James. A kind of straw, wood, hay, and stubble. You know, people are the stupidest things in the world when you listen to men. When you listen to God through a prophet is different. And here in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, was written, cursed every man that hangeth on a tree. Why? that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. What's that? The reception of the Holy Spirit through faith. So what's the blessing of Abraham? The Holy Spirit. And if that's to come upon the Gentiles as well as the Jews, and the Jews blew it, and we took it, the Jews have to return to get it, 144,000 sealed in. So it tells you right here, if you're an elect child of God, if you're a seed, the blood avails, the Holy Ghost has to come, and you will recognize and say, baptize me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want the token. I want the substance. I want the reality. And I don't. And you don't have to feel a thing. You don't have to see a thing, but I tell you, you will know it. And Brother Branham said, well, question came, Brother Branham, can you know you received the Holy Ghost? Because he said, can a woman have a baby and not know it unless she's anesthetized? In other words, that word of God will open up to you. The first thing I remember after being baptized with the Holy Ghost, even Pentecostal style, I admit it, I sought God and sought God and sought God because they told me to. And they said, roll over, I'd have rolled over. Stand your head, I'd have done my best, although my feet are too heavy. I'd have got someone to hold them up. Hold up your lightning rod, lightning, and hey, oh, God have pity. I can tell you one thing. After I received what I knew to be the Holy Spirit, it was, this book became so brand new, I didn't know it was the same Bible I was reading. And from that time on, the Word of God lived in my heart. Not as much in my life as it should have, not as much in my tongue and my brain as it should have, but that Word became like fire. Yeah. You go right to that Word, brother, sister. I tell you, let's look at a little baby that's born of a mammal, goes right to the mother for milk. You got a little chicken, goes right there picking little things right away like mama chicken does. And I'm going to tell you, if you're a child of God, you'll be just like Jesus Christ, you go right to the Word. You can't help it. Because that's your light and your salvation. That's your food. That's your water. That's everything in there. Now he said, take your token, the blessing, the Holy Spirit, and if Satan tries to push something on you, just show this. Now I'm going to ask you a question. What is Satan going to try to push on you? So Brother Vale, he's going to push on me adultery and fornication and getting mad enough to kill somebody, road rage, and shut up. You're not thinking. You're not thinking. What is this hour known for? Peril. P-E-R-I-L. This is the age of peril, as no other age knew it, where the two spirits are so close, you can get fooled. So here's the guy over here raising the dead and speaking in tongues and doing great things, and here's you and me over here just with words and saying, yeah, 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 you ain't got it, yeah, yeah, you ain't got it. We got it, we got it. Have you? Have you? Let's go to the Word and find out. Many will come in that day and say, I never knew you. God will say, I never knew you. Oh, but I cast out devils, Lord. I did wonderful things in your name. Oh, I even raised it. He said, I know you did. You use my name like a bunch of counterfeiters. Yeah. You use my name, my gold, my glory, to exploit your own fame and your organization and the rotten words Satan palmed on you. And we say, Lord, we just stand with the Word under the blood. We just stand with that Word. Come, you blessed of my Father. Take your pick this morning, which way you want to go. Take your pick this morning, just what you got in mind is in your heart. What are you looking for? If Satan tries to push his junk on us, like a guy wrote me this letter, and he said, Brother Vale, your tapes are known around the world, how you defend the prophet, and how it is that you show that God is here with the prophet. But he said, you don't know that Brother Branham said this about Joseph. You're trying to make Joseph the great one. But Brother Branham categorically said one place, I wish I could find it. Now, my wife remembered it. He said, if that one that comes after me is a man, then I wasn't the one that I was supposed to be. He said, our Joshua is the Holy Ghost, but they're trying to make Joe Branham. I've got nothing against Joe Branham. He is a prophet. But people forget what Brother Branham told his son, Billy Paul. And he said, yes, Billy, Joe is a prophet, but it all depends on what group he's with. If he's with the wrong group, he's a prophet unto men. With the right group, he's a prophet unto God. I'm nothing against the boy. Nothing against any of them. In fact, I got good respect for him. I love him. We have no communication. I'm going to tell you one thing. There is Elijah for this hour, and there ain't any other until the Jews. You have seen your last sign. I don't care what signs Joseph has. I'm not interested. Not at all interested. You want to know something else that boy can discern? Let me tell you this. Brother Branham said, positively the angel said to him, no one will ever have your gift of discernment as long as you're on this earth. Is Joseph going to fool him? Here's the Bible open. Knowing there's a God in heaven, I'm telling you, Brother Branham told me. And you know why he told me? Because Job Bose, Matson Bose, Joseph Matson Bose, the big Swede, up there, Trinitarian, who didn't really believe Brother Branham, said, Brother Bailey, and I think it's Brazil, he said, there's a, maybe it's in Argentina somewhere, just forgive me, it's in South America somewhere. And he said, there's a man down there doing exactly like Brother Branham. And I went to Brother Branham, he said, Brother Bale, he told me. Here it's open. I'll meet you down the road, honey. You think I'm kidding? Uh-uh. I could kid you about a lot of things, but this I kid you not. So, and the devil tries to push something on you. Yeah. Yeah. What did the devil do in the Garden of Eden? He came to Eve and he said, yeah. God did say this, yeah. The prophet did say this, yeah. We got vindication, yeah. But let me tell you something. Sure. I know I can develop a very mean spirit. But I'm going to be honest with you. I said it before, and I followed Brother Branham's footsteps when he said, they said, Brother Branham, there's 10,000 believe this message. He said, too many. I got to push them away. I'm glad to be with a very, very few, and I'm going to say this, even if I'm wrong. Because then very few are wrong with me. And I don't have much trouble then with the guilt complex. He said, Satan tries to push something on you. Say, Brother Bale, I think that means a disease. Oh, come on. Is William Branham wasting his time on this old saw about diseases? Or is he telling us something that a bride needs to know? Where is the importance? What does it matter? He's already said, yeah, something's got to take you out of here. Tuberculosis, cancer, TB, well, that is tuberculosis, arthritis. I got them all, I think. And God knows what. What's that got to do with it? Now, God doesn't push your mommy, the devil does. And this is something the devil has a right to, because Brother Branham said he's got at least one strike against you. God allowed it. Is God going to allow us in this hour then for the devil to push on us something that's contrary to the living word? No, 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 no. So what's he telling you? Don't let the devil, in the nice little boy, and the nice little girl, the nice little mom, a nice little papa, a nice little preacher, a nice little healer, a nice little prophet, a nice little prophetess, to push something on you. It'll kill your soul. So, Brother Bale, the fact is the bride's got her womb, the mind, all tidied up now, and sealed in, it won't happen. Do you think for 1 minute the devil's not going to try to push something on you? Now, you're going to die for something. He's got a blow coming at you. And what did Peter say? They're going to get weary saying, where is the promise of the parousia? Where is the promise of him establishing his kingdom on earth? Where is the resurrection? Where is the bride coming out? Oh, just like all the rest, Bill Branham fell asleep. You know, we have a marvelous picture here in North America, and part of it's Canada. Now, you Canadians know something like the guy's name. Gordy, what was the name of the guy under Confederation that brought Newfoundland into Confederation? What was his name, Small or something? Smallwood. All right, the Canadians had 9 provinces under Confederation. As one unit, the same as we have our 50 states. But Smallwood decided that he would become a father with the other fathers of Confederation, 150 years later? Huh? Right. He became a father of Confederation because Newfoundland became the 10th province. William Branham became a father of this church 2,000 years after Paul, in his steps, and hundreds of years, a long time, after Wesley. And he's right with them. So where is the promise of the kingdom? It's been coming up for 6,000 years. So what are you worried about? What's to get you disgruntled? You say, my child died. He baptized at 14. Taken out of this world by an accident. I'm going to meet him in heaven. Well, why don't you blow your brains out to get there quicker? Oh, I couldn't do that. Then shut up and don't agonize and groan and grunt because things are not happening the way you want them to happen. He will come in his good time when the last one is in and child trained. And the bride comes to one mind. And they will be in one place. What that one place in, don't ask me. Brother Branham made mention, but I'm not here to guess, and I haven't tried to study it. Okay, don't let him push something on you. Just show your token. How are you going to show your token? Quote the word right back at him. Years ago, they said, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham, I said, just a cotton pick a minute. I want to tell you, Satan came to Jesus, and he said, it is written. And Jesus said, it's also written. And I'm going to tell you, you're saying, Brother Branham said, Brother Branham said. And I'm telling you, Brother Branham also said. Oh, they love that, all right. Ho, ho, ho. I've been something in the horse stall for a long time with all that. You better believe it. See, Satan doesn't like being pushed around. Doesn't like being told the word. You know, even old Jack Moore found that out years ago. He had a dream. He was in this hotel room and suddenly he noticed under the door they wiggled into the limp. And Satan came at him and thrust him, jumped back, and Satan got bigger. Finally, Satan filled the room and Jack was a tiny figure. And then Jack said, I just learned something quick. I took the word of God. And every time I threw the word of God, he became smaller until he ran out of the same door. Under the door, he came in like a mouse. Jack Moore learned something that he should have got down in his heart. Because he's the guy that said, I don't believe that William Branham or anybody's John is Elijah. That was John the Baptist. But he said, I'll tell you one thing. If there is another man, my vote would go to Brother Branham. You don't have to vote on a man. It's revealed. Yeah, it's revealed. Oh, I'm so happy in the Lord, without all the trimmings and everything else, just a little still small voice that keeps you walking, keeps you seeing the truth of the living God, because that's what it's all about. That's scripture too. He said, here, just show this. That's your identification. I'm identified. I'm identified. Now, we haven't even got to the place that I told you about where we're going to get to, where Brother Branham proves his identification and proves yours at the same time. Because the sheep know the voice, and the Lord shall descend with a shout and a voice. And the voice of the resurrection is the same voice of the shout, even though a prophet gives the message. When it's called voice of God, Joe Branham said the right thing. It is the voice of God. What else would it be? If the voice of William Branham, forget it. I don't need his voice or anybody else's. I got a better education he's got. It's not education. I didn't have what he had, but I can have what he has, because he was here to give it to me. That's your identification. Amen. You're identified in the resurrection of Christ. In other words, you're identified in the resurrection right today, and he led the first part forth victorious, and God calls the second part out, and you're identified by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, which you identify yourself with through the word of the living God, which we'll show you, and we do show you as time goes on as we read this message. Now, you're identified in his death. When you die, you're identified in his resurrection. In other words, the blood shed, you received that atoning power, you had a part in it, because you are the one to be fully redeemed. Now, the next thing is, you're identified in his resurrection. And you can't be otherwise. Now, watch this. It cannot be otherwise. We say concerning marriage or engagement, there's many a slip twixt the cup and the lip. Not this. Not the wedding supper. There's no slip twixt the cup and the lip. When you drink this here, knowing you are a child of God, and you are testifying to meeting him in the resurrection and drinking it anew. There are no slip-ups, because none will perish. Nobody can get them out of my hand. Nobody can get them out of my Father's hand. And if you want to know the truth, if you think this is great, my Father's greater. Between the two of us, there's no slip. Nobody gets away. No fish gets away from the net. Crabs are kicked out. When you die, you are identified in his resurrection. Now notice that when you die, right away, death spells resurrection. It has to. Why? Because that's the next step. We've got to die to get raised. So when you die, the next step is resurrection. See, okay, it's just like you have a vat of plain cold water. Now you got a package of royal purple dye. So you throw the royal purple dye in the water. The minute it hits the water, it's a dye water. The minute you die, resurrection water. See? In other words, it's conclusive, and it cannot, under any consideration, fail to come to the place it's to come to. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. If that fella really died, how could he be judged? He's somewhere. And by that it identifies that you were with him before the foundation of the world, because you are redeemed. That's bought back. All the Father has given me will come, and no man can come unless he, the Father, has given it in the beginning. Now there you are, once more, showing the limited atonement, the limited bride, the limited church, the limited everything with God. Not one less, not one more. Because perfection means finished and polished, so that you couldn't be there with one atom missing, and you couldn't be there with one atom over. One atom over would mean God would have to start all over again. Which, who says he won't after New Jerusalem? But not with this crowd. Now notice, he was sinless to take the place of the sinful. Now, didn't say reprobates. Didn't say serpent seed. Just says sinful. Sheep gone astray. Sheep in another pasture. Sheep eating what they shouldn't eat. Sheep mingling with the goats and the pigs. And they don't belong in a farmyard. They belong in the pasture beside the still waters. That's not a farmyard. No, that's not a farmyard. That's a journey. That's a journey where the shepherd takes you from place to place. Beside the still waters, deep in the grass. Taken care by God. Going through dark places. Always coming out in the sunshine eventually. Going through trials. The valley of the shadow of death is an actual place of valley. And as dark as you go through, signifying trouble, signifying problems. But remember, God has antidote for sick sheep. He heals them. Inwardly and millions of times outwardly. Now, notice. He was sinless to take the place of the sinful. The antidote. He was without sin, so that he might redeem sinners. Now remember, Brother Branham said that when the doctor has to give you many times poison to cure a disease, and then he gives you the antidote to stop the disease going too far. Well, God let sin come into the world, but then he gave us Jesus Christ by his death, redeemed us back, to fill us with the Holy Ghost, to keep us within the confines of the Word of Almighty God, and none can be lost. There's your antidote applied, right down the line. Now, God was expressed in him and properly identified himself in him. Now notice. Now watch in there, it says here, God was expressed in him. So if God was expressed in him, that's John 14, 1 to about 6. You know, where the Father doeth the works. And he that seen me has seen the Father. See? Indwelling him. You say, Brother Branham, did you say God identified himself? He did. Now, watch what Brother Branham does here. He leaves Deuteronomy 18. Because John 1 was not written maybe 90 years after Jesus died. Or 80 years after, maybe 60 years after Jesus died. Maybe 50, maybe a few years, I don't know. But it was after he died. See? He identified himself. In the beginning, said John 1, was the Word, and the Word was with God. Now, a word has to be a thought before it's a word. In other words, before you can have an expression, there must be something there that needs to be expressed. You know that as well as I do. See, something has to be behind it. And when the expression comes forth, it's identified with what was back of it, or the necessity of it coming forward into some type of manifestation. You follow me? It has to be. In other words, it's one with it. It's part and parcel. I and my Father are one. All right. A thought expressed. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. See? Was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So what you're seeing here is, Brother Branham is telling you, the invisible God became visible through the instrumentality of human flesh. So that when you saw him, who was the Father of Jesus, which was God, you saw God manifest in human flesh. See? Because what you saw coming forth through human flesh cannot ever come through human flesh. So the human flesh is a channel, thereby expressing God who is doing the works. And that's what Jesus said, plain as ABC. Identify. How? Hebrews 4, see? Now watch. The Word of God is sharper, more powerful than two-edged sword, cutting asunder, cutting coming and going, cut asunder, and discerning thoughts and intents of the heart. And he did that. Now watch. That's how the prophets were identified. Now, just the cotton pick in a minute. He's talking about God being identified, and he turns right around and tells how the prophets being identified. So, therefore, there's a link up between God and the prophet, wherein whatever the prophet brings forth is actually has to be from God or forget it. Right? There's got to be a hook up here. Just like with Jesus. He said, he that has seen me has seen the Father. Can't you understand? I can't do these things. And who do you think's doing them? You're not doing them. Priest's not doing them. The devil's not doing them. You say the devil is, but you're a liar. It's just like he is. God's doing it. Therefore, he that sees me has seen the Father. When they asked the question, Brother Branham, what did that mean? He that sees me sees the Father? You're looking at me, aren't you? Whoo, that's beautiful. See, I like these things. I'm an extremist. And yet, I am not extreme. I'm one of the most moderate guys you'll ever meet in your life, believe it or not. And yet, I'm terribly extreme in some ways, and I can't get extreme enough to suit me. So I'm right with this chuckling inside, chuckling outside, ready for the brouhaha. Ready for the showdown. Just love it. I mean, I love it. Brother Brown said, looking at me, aren't you? Oh, that. I tell you what. I just laugh. I have a great time. I can go into a Pentecostal tailspin without spinning out of control. Like they do. All right. He said here, based on discernment, which the prophets alone had. And when he did that, that's how the prophet was, that prophets were identified, because God would speak and tell them just what was wrong and what was going on. See, that is the identification of the word of the hour being manifest. So now what are we looking at? Brother Branham said, don't let the devil push you around now. You show your token, And our token goes right back to William Branham, manifesting Almighty God. We saying amen to every word. We know we have the token. And no matter what the devil comes and tries to push on us, by feelings or anything else, we stand right here and say, that's all I know, and that's all I ever will know, that I have this, and this is mine, and I am identified because I'm part of it. How do I know I'm identified and I'm a part? Because the rest of them don't want it. What we prize as the highest, they wouldn't even feed to their dogs. It's like manure to them. What they have is like manure to us. I don't want it. Now, let me just show you. Let me show you Brother Branham. Right here in the living word, the living God. People say they can find Joseph. They can have find Joseph. They want Joseph. I don't care two bits whether they find Joseph or, or George or John or Jack or anybody else. Now, Peter after Pentecost here, and after the great miracle at the beautiful gate and all those sort of things, preaches a sermon how Christ came and died. And in verse 19 says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. In other words, repent and be full of the Holy Ghost, that your sins be blotted out, when times of refreshing shall come to the presence of the Lord. Brother Branham said that's a great healing revival. Somebody says something else. Well, I don't care what you say. Brother Branham's vindicated. So give me some vindication. Man, I'm in need of vindication. I've got things in my body that I want you to tell me about, and then lay your hands on me and pray the prayer of faith and say, thus saith the Lord, you're healed. Or if you don't do it for me, do it for somebody else. But you show me you got something. Hogwash. This is healing revival because Brother Branham said so. You're just big brother. Yes, I believe Brother Branham. Hallelujah. And I'm not snotty like you are. I'm reverent. And it's in my heart. It's in my mind. And you have to knock my brains out and kill me to get rid of it now. It's too late. I wouldn't know where to turn. In fact, I don't want to turn. All I want to turn is more and more and more and more and more and more of this word, and know more and more and more and more the truth of this word. And its intrinsicality and essentiality. Now it says, and he, even God, shall send Jesus Christ, which before was appointed unto you and preached you. He wasn't just preached, he was appointed. Now, whom the heavens must retain until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, your brethren, like unto me, him you'll hear in all things. And that word is word. You'll hear him in all the word, whatever he shall say. And it has to be word, because he's going to say it. He doesn't say, I'm not going to say frog. Oh, my mother, but frog jumps out. Don't be an idiot. Oh, I'm going to say tractor, but I won't. The tractor jump out. Things, words. Words. Right? Well, you better hear what he says. It'll come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. In other words, there's going to be annihilation. Ye are the children of the... And all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken. He goes back to Moses as a word prophet, then brings right in Samuel where it begins, who was not a word prophet, but a judge, and who had the word revealed to him. So there's William Branham, and that's why he always quoted Samuel. When did I ever take your goods? When did I ever tell you a lie? Just exactly what Samuel did. William Branham did. Samuel located the mules. Brother Branham located the horses. Samuel prayed for kings. So did William Branham. Samuel, the restorer, the judge, the prophet. So there it is. So Brother Branham's identifying himself with God. And he's the link between us and God. That's why Jesus had to be a prophet, but a greater prophet. And remember, John the Baptist, who merely pointed to Jesus and said, that's the one right there, was the greatest prophet that ever lived. Say, my God, you mean to tell me bigger than Moses and bigger than this? Well, I can't help it. Jesus himself said, no man, prophet born of woman, was ever greater than John the Baptist. So John the Baptist had to have equality or something else going for him. So where do you think Brother Branham stands? When John the Baptist pointed him out, it's the same as William Branham pointing out our God today, saying, hear ye him, and the fullness of the living God. Right there. See? Now, that is the identification of the word of the hour being manifest. In other words, God himself, as he did in John 1 and 1, is coming into full manifestation via the prophet. I'm going to ask you a question. If there's another act after that, will that be climax or anticlimax? Is this the epiphany, or is it epiphany number one with number two coming? Forget it. It's all over. I don't care who says what. I'm not interested. And the guy that wrote me his little stupid letter is exactly right. I am known around the world for two things, putting Brother Branham forth as a vindicated prophet of Almighty God, and God himself on the scene in his own presence, ready to bring about the resurrection, lead us into the millennium. I understand and know the word of the living God, and I'm hated for it. I've lost about everybody I knew. I'm going to tell you one thing. It doesn't make one bit of difference. I'm preaching harder today than I preached in my life, and I'll continue to do so. And I'll go down, if I go down to hell, I'll preach it. Because look, I cannot change. And I don't want to change. I'd love to be sweeter, kinder, everything else, but I'm going to have to wait for the resurrection, I think. I don't know. I had the sweetest, beautiful wife in all the world, and even she can't make me sweet, except they're nice to her. Anybody else, get out of my way. that's the truth, and that's all I can say about it. Time's up as far as I'm concerned. I got three paragraphs done, and that's very good. Very good. What time is it? Yes, it's just, well, it's only, what is it, 20 to 12? Well, I can do one more paragraph before you go home. I get one paragraph closer. He was the fullness of God's word, for he was the fullness of the Godhead. Now, that's not William Branham. Brother Branham said that all the prophets were a part of the Word and had a part of the Word, but Jesus had it all. He was the fullness of the Word. That's why he said Christ was the seals. See? Christ the Word. And every time he used the Word, Christ, he said, he was telling you, if Christ is the Word, and Word is expression of what's behind it all, there's the expression, and this is what's behind it all, Jehovah Elohim, thank God. Now, Sister Meadie said, Brother Bale, you think it's wrong when I see that pillar of fire there that I should worship? I said, I know what you mean. That is a glory pictured of the living God. We don't worship it, but we worship knowing what was photographed. There's an expression right there. What is behind the expression? Jehovah Elohim. Yeah. Oh, she was right on target. Yeah, the rest of them weren't. Yeah. And they'll try to pull you away, too. They'll tell you everything under God's high heaven. He was the fullness of God's word. Now, Brother Branham has been talking about word being expression, manifestation. So, therefore, he was everything you're ever going to see when it comes to God. That's all you'll ever need to see when it comes to you and me. Later on, we'll see the pillar of fire, every one of us, over the throne. Just like the picture right there. Now, he was God in human form. In other words, he was the God of a human form. It doesn't say Jesus was God. It says God was God in human form. Because we're talking about word expressing, expression, what's to be expressed. Well, the expression is what was to be expressed, is now expressed. So what's the appearing? Done been expressed. Still here. Still molding a bride. Still calling for the sheep. Still maturing his children. Don't think he's not, because he is. He was the fullness of God's word, for he was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, whatever God wanted to put in the body, that was it. And if God wanted to and did invade him, complete God himself in a complete son, it doesn't make the son God. It simply means when you see him and what he's doing, you're seeing the Father, because the Father's working through him, and that's the only expression God uses, is another man. And if God wants to use that expression to show himself visible, proving it's his own self by doing the works, that's God's business. Even if you use the brass doorknob. People can't get that. They think I'm blaspheming. I am not blaspheming. If God wanted to use a tin pan, he could do it. When God wanted to use a burning bush, he did it. When God wanted a cyclone, he did it. God can veil himself of whatever he wants, and God's behind it, and that it becomes word or expression. And that's what you and I are given, because no man can see God and live. Now take it or leave it. Take it or leave it. That no man has seen the Father, but the only begotten has revealed him. Where does that leave Jesus? In a great mystery. See, can't you transfer and understand today what we're talking about now from way back there? I know you can. You're not dumb. I know you're not dumb. You could be stupid listening to me preach all these years, but I'll give you credit for one thing. You got nice dispositions, and you got good ability to listen, and you're very tough to sit all these hours I preach. He was God in human form. It took God to express such a character as this. That should be all in hyphens. It took God to express such a character as this. Such a character as this. Such a character as this. In other words, it couldn't be without God. God in you willing and doing of his own good pleasure. It takes God. Everything that God gives you and me credit for is when we stepped out of the way and let him work through us. When he used our eyes, our tongues, our ears, our lips, our hands, our feet, through the word, the glass of cold water. Yeah. That was Jesus to the people receiving the cold water. The visit to the prisons, to the hospital. To do something nice for somebody. Well, I'm too busy. The children got to be taken to a play tonight. I'm too busy. My grandmother's having a very special kind of a little hoop-dee-doo. You know. I'm too busy. Yeah. Too busy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Strange, isn't it? It took God to express such a character as this. It took God to have that expressed character. They wanted to express God, they did. And then that lovely life had to be taken from him so that he could save these God's foreknowledge saw in the beginning. You think God could see something that wasn't there? I doubt very much. I doubt very much, because everything that God knew, everything God had, had to be manifested according to this. But this is a little play on words, is kind of nice. God's foreknowledge saw in the beginning. In other words, he's telling you what God saw and God made record that God would bring into manifestation, all put in the book. It was right there in the beginning, which was his thoughts of you and me. Jesus came to do that. He did, right from the beginning, right to the end. His perfect life had to be sacrificed to redeem that person. That's right. The Father and Son are separate. No matter what God did and through the Son, it was a son that died upon Calvary that released the life that God gave him. The life that he had from the Father, the life that the Father bestowed upon him, sealing him in. as it were, like a double portion. I don't understand it all, but there it is before us. He gave it all. Then if you they do, and you are with God in His thoughts at the beginning, now watch, here's the beautiful one now. How can you deny His word being true when you are a part of His word? Amen. Now the question comes, well, Brother Branham, are you telling us that you know what we don't know? Are you telling us that you are a guide to the blind and we're blind? Are you telling us that you are the secret source that God gave for the righteousness of the word dwelling in us? Brother Branham, isn't it strange that you, a little hillbilly from Kentucky, uneducated, because you have a great ministry, now you have turned into a complete idiot, you're trying to teach us? Well, come on, come on. No matter what Bill Branham did, and I can tell you a lot of things that he did, there's no way they believe it. They just walked off kicking their feet in the dust and said, well, we can't argue because he's really got something. But boy, I wish we had what he had along with what we got, because we sure don't want what he's got along with what he got. And boy, if we had what he got along with what we got, woo-hoo, you watch the heavens. Come on. You think I'm being facetious and foolish up here? I'm not. I'm deadly serious. I know this game, brother, sister. I know this game. If you think it hasn't even been pulled on me, you've got some thoughts coming. You've got some serious thoughts coming. You can do what you want about it. I've already done it. Forget it. Now, then if they do, and you are with God in His thought at the beginning, how can you deny this word being true when you're a part of His word? Amen. Certainly. Vindicated properly, they could make no mistake about it. He said, it's not me that's doing the works, it's my Father that's dwelling in me. And remember, word follows, word follows, follows, follows works when it comes to vindication. Works that follow the word, anybody can have them, even the devil. And he does. The false anointing. But to have the word follow works, you have got to be a vindicated prophet. For thus saith the Lord, then whatever that prophet says, you come under the fear of God. Do you follow me? And they said, Brother Branham, oh, Brother Branham, why can't you grow up? And why don't you leave these lovely women alone? Tell them how to have gifts so they can whoop-de-doo across the platform, tippy-tippy-toe with their short skirts and slacks and bob hair, and beguile the people. Because a woman is the greatest beguiler there is, because she's the most deceiving and deceived person that there is. She represents the church. And the church represents God. It says we're the gateway to heaven. When she's a prostitute, and she's the gateway to hell. So here we sit today, brother, sister, fully free. We are God's free people. Our mother is New Jerusalem. Why? Because New Jerusalem was already in the thought of God, and therefore concrete as the Spirit of God is, that that city must appear, and we are part of it. People don't want that. They want guesswork. They want the hypothetical. They don't want the proven. Thank God. We have reached the place of science. We have reached the place of knowledge. We have reached the place of, there it is. Because what a man seeth doth he yet hope for. You were hoping for the appearing. There it is. You see it. You don't hope anymore. Now by the faith, hope, and love. And when love came down, faith disappeared, and hope with it. Because what a man seeth, and oh, how we all long for love, how we all long for God. Substituting, actually, the agape love, and I refer only to God now, not to other treasures on earth, for the familial or filial love of being sweet and kind to everybody. I'm not interested. As I want to be sweet and kind, my heart's desire all my life has to be a sweet, kind person, which as a little kid I was. And I got disillusioned. What's to be kind and sweet about? But I really have always wanted that. But that's not my job. That's where the Presbyterian Methodist minister and the Pentecostal system. My job is what I'm doing. I don't know that I please God. I kind of doubt it because I don't please myself. I don't pretend to. But I know one thing. I know one and one make two. I know black is not red. I know green is not purple. I know light is not dark. I know God is not Satan. I know when word is not word. I know when life is not death. I know when truth is not a lie. I know the two spirits. I understand what Brother Branham says. So therefore, I've got to have something. And I'm not going to trade for anything ethereal that doesn't quite know that one and one make two. And say, Johnny, what is two and two? Three. Wonderful. That's good. That's good, Johnny. You're getting very close. Close only counts in horseshoe. It doesn't even count in a game of poker. I'm not gambling. I'm not playing horseshoe. I'm sealed in to go down that road, and so are you. You believe that? What else is there left to believe? What else should we believe? Then believe it together. One day, there'll be those 10 people in one place. There will be a rapture. I'll be here to see it. Maybe I got to come out of the grave, which suits me fine. I want to get the best on both sides. I'd like that. I don't want to wait till Brother Brandon come back and tells us all the good things he's been through. I'd sooner go through with him. See, well, he's where Jesus is. I'm glad he's not where Jesus is. If that's where, I don't care to be where Jesus is. It's not my time. Why would I want to butt into God's business? Would I want to butt into God's business and spoil it? He butt into God's business and spoil it. I'm smarter than Eve. I'm smarter than Adam. Yeah. So are you, all of us. Amen. We're not going to butt in where God doesn't want us. But let's not butt in where we're supposed to. As Brother Brand said, one day it was death to walk behind the Holy of Holies, and now it's death not to. Let's walk behind the Holy of Holies and revelation of Jesus Christ. Hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. No matter the storms come, it doesn't matter. We are secure and tied in him today because we are one with him. And he said that rapture is going to take place when the bride says, I am my father in one. And one day a man who doesn't like me said, ah, one day Lee Bailey saying, I am my father in one. Huh? Come on now. Come on now. Where is the promise of his presence? Right here. Because we're saying it. What he told us to say. And they're laughing at us now. I'm going to say one thing. I've been laughed at a lot. I've worn clothes that people have laughed at. I've taken a stand where people have laughed at. But I'm going to tell you one thing. My God will laugh in derision at those that laugh at him. Yeah. I don't want to leave on a sour note. I just want to put that in there because I want you to know something. The lily must struggle through the mud and the mire, through the sunshine of God, filtering out everything but the food that lies here today. We come to the day when we dine with the King and take the emblems of it. Well, let's go. Let's rise and be dismissed. Time's over, more than over. If I keep preaching 2-hour sermons, I can get my 24 sermons done in 10. Heavenly Father, as we go our way, which we know we go our way, and yet we'll stay, many of us, to have lunch together, and we trust that everyone does. We pray, Lord God, that the sermon, what we're talking about today, not because what I said, but what I have talked about, what the prophet said, and done my best, Lord, to show them. There again we are seeing, and beginning as Samuel and all the prophets, this one, turn him down, brings destruction and death upon the earth, and there's nothing can stay it except you, God, as you were with Noah building the ark. So now you are with us. Blessed God, Jehovah, Elohim, Elohim Jehovah, here you are with us right today, sealing your church in, getting the bride ready, all the way ready, nurturing us up, and in every way showing your goodness and your grace, and weaning us away from wrong word, or word that has been misinterpreted, or word that has been misplaced, whatever way, weaning us now to the actual truth, your truth, you yourself, so that we can come forth in the manifestation of the word which we are, devoid of anything but the truth manifestation of what you wanted. Even today, Lord, as the human body is not the true manifestation of what you wanted, being a mixed lump of the real and the unreal, the animal, the human, shortly, Lord, we know, because of the reality of this word no longer mixed in, a bride of the pure content will be building a body right around that word as it should be, to have exactly what you want us to have, which is going to be the dead come out of the earth, and we know our mortal members shall be changed. And we thank you, Father, that we already have the token for it, and you yourself here are see us ready to be delivered. We know that this is the hour of the presence. This is the parousia, and we thank you for it, that we are aware, and we commend ourselves to you, our full depth of ourselves with our full knowledge, body, soul, and spirit, into your keeping today, because we are yours, and we give you glory, and may we continue to give you glory by our mouths, by our thoughts, by our works, whatever you would want from us. May you receive glory, because one day there's coming when every knee is going to bow and every tongue will confess that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we want that now. Not that we would have to bow the knee under pressure, but bowing the knee now, bowing our hearts and our minds and every part of our being, bowing to you, Lord, and giving you glory, even as Brother Branham has preached this beautiful message on identification. We are part of it, and we give you glory the same as he did, in the measure of ourselves, until that measure increases through the measure of you, Lord, dealing with us and in us and through us. We give you praise. Heal the sick amongst us, Lord. Illuminate minds, O God. Revive spirits, we pray. May your joy that you have in us, we now joy in you. So it's a reciprocal, beautiful banquet under the banner of love, who is our God. To thee we ascribe the glory in Jesus Christ's beautiful, precious, holy name, our wonderful meter intercessor. Amen and amen. Take the name of Jesus.